Well, today for our second reading, we have a wonderful passage from the Epistle of James. It's one of those passages in Scripture that it feels like more like a symphony than it does just any other book. There are so many good individual lines that can be pulled out of here and just enjoyed of their own. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this. These pieces are great, and it would do us well to remember and try to live them out. But the way this passage as a whole is laid out puts all of these in their proper context, and it speaks to something even greater. This passage is greater than just the sum of its parts. We begin with James giving us a description of God. God is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. This is hard for us to wrap our minds around. We live in creation. We're creatures in space and time. And so all that we do is react to the world around us. It could be reacting to something that's happened in our past. It could be us reacting to isolation or being alone. But we react. And as much as we may hate to think about it in our lives, we change. Things change. With God, that's not so. Other than Jesus Christ, God is outside of all creation. God is outside of time. And so God doesn't change. God is eternal. Today, too many of us are easily distracted. I've had meals, and I'm sure many of you have, where you're sitting with someone and they're constantly pulling out their phone and looking at it. Well, God is the exact opposite of that. And some may read this as God being standoffish or isolated by himself, but that's not true. God doesn't change, but he changes us and impacts us and so much of the world. The very first thing we read in this passage is that every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above. All of the good that we have in our lives, all the love, all the peace, ultimately comes from him. That's his desire for us. I've heard so many people in situations with death and illness and despair blame God and say that the reason for their suffering is that God hates them. But that couldn't be farther from the truth. God doesn't hurt us. God doesn't want that for us. But and he's there wanting us to turn to him, to come to him. But too often we stray and we live in a world that's fallen from him. God isn't behind the disease that kills someone. God is behind the love of a family that comes together to support each other after that death. One of the reasons I love this passage of James so much is this beautiful beginning to it. It describes God as being so much greater than us, so much more powerful than us, beyond our understanding. But at the same time, he's so loving and so intimately involved in each of our lives. Then in the next three sections, James describes how we as Christians should act. All of these things that come now are responses to that goodness of God. When James describes how Christians should live, it's about how we can give thanks to God for the good that he's done in our lives. But God isn't just the reason to live life this way. He's the model for how we live our lives. The first paragraph covers our mindset and our attitude in life. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. As Christians, we imitate God's impassibility or changelessness by being quick to listen rather than being quick to jump to conclusions, quick to have that negative reaction. Oftentimes, we can be rash and we can lash out at people. If you disagree with me on that, after the service, just go to Facebook. It's a prime example of this. We don't have to make quick decisions or share or repeat everything we find. It's okay to take time and be discerning with what we say and what we share. Too often, I think we get wrapped up in an anger and we feel the only solution is to express it, as if anger is the solution to our problems. But here we're reminded, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. We can't save ourselves with our anger. Far more often, that anger instead blinds us to what God is doing. And the next paragraph expands this from our disposition, our kind of internal mindset and attitude about things, to what we actually do in the world. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. We need to follow through with what we believe. It's a warning against us as Christians from retreating into ourselves and not interacting with the world around us. In the early church, there was a heretical group called the Gnostics that popped up. And for them, salvation was something that you got through knowledge. Some Gnostics even insisted that they didn't need to live by any laws. How they lived their lives didn't matter. The important thing was that they had that secret knowledge. They died out, but we still see hints of this even today. There are people who will spend so much time and effort just to get the right understanding of Scripture, which isn't a bad thing. But then that knowledge doesn't follow through and start to show in the way they live their lives. Christianity fascinates them, but it can turn into an intellectual exercise rather than something they orient their lives around. We can't just listen to what God says and think to ourselves, yeah, that sounds good. We have to follow through with it. We need to have a faith that leads us to action. As Christians, we need to imitate the God who gives us every good endowment and every perfect gift. And the last paragraph sums all of this up. Just as today, back then in the Roman Empire, there were a lot of people who loved religious ceremonies but ignored the teaching. I've lost count of the number of people I've met since I became an Anglican who want the perfect liturgy. They want the Eucharist just right, with very nice vestments, but they don't actually listen to any of the words that are said here. James isn't saying religion or ceremonies are bad. He's saying there needs to be a wholeness to us in the way our faith impacts us. The mental, physical, and spiritual can't be seen as separate, isolated parts of our life. We can't compartmentalize God and put him in a box. Our faith should touch on all of those areas, and they should be in agreement. Otherwise, as it says here, we deceive our hearts. Now, at the beginning of the sermon, I mentioned that this passage shows us how our beliefs in God should shape our actions, our lives. Who we believe God to be shapes how we live our lives. The opposite, in a sense, is also true. The way we live our lives can and does speak to who the God we worship is. Our actions don't only show our faith, they show who our faith is in. If we only think about God on Sunday, one day out of the whole week, aren't we in a way saying that God isn't always active in the world? that he's not concerned about us or he's not watching us enough to see what we do? If we have the kind of faith that's comfortable where we only hear God telling us what we want to hear him tell us, in some ways, aren't we worshiping a God that resembles ourselves more than the one in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change? I certainly don't want a God who's like me. I want a God who's trying to make me more like him. And if we say we believe, but we don't live out our faith, then it's as if we're either saying that God doesn't care about his creation, that he's not loving, or even worse, we could be saying that we worship a God we see as little more than myth or a story we tell ourselves. Later on in James, there's that famous line, "I will show you my faith by my works." Well, what do our works, our lives, say about our faith? So, as you go about your life this week, remember this passage from James. Take the scripture insert with you and reread it throughout the week if you can. We have an amazing God, a God who is so much greater than us, but still loves us enough to show the good in our lives. Part of our faith in God is living lives imitating him. Our faith isn't all about the beautiful worship we have. Our faith isn't all about the knowledge that we have of God. Beautiful worship and Bible study are great, but we need a faith that impacts all that we are. And we need to be mindful that our lives should and do reflect who it is we worship. Amen.